This evening, I'm going to share my title of my talk is Your Story Matters. And so I'm going to ask if we got the scriptures, we can put them up. John chapter 4, verses 28. We're going to stick that up. And so if you got your Bibles, great. Otherwise, we can just follow up there. I just want to give context to the story. This is about the woman that met Jesus at the well. And it was the midday, and Jesus was tired. And amidst his being tired, he meets this woman at the well. And you must remember that in those days, for men and women to even be connecting and associating on that kind of basis wasn't really seen as a cool thing. But Jesus demonstrates something really for us. And funny enough, I was actually thinking about it. We're actually in Women's Month, is that right, if I recall correctly? And the most amazing thing is that one of the things that Jesus does is he smashes the cultural barrier. Firstly, let alone that a Jew would mix with a Samaritan woman, let alone a woman, and he smashes all of that stuff. And essentially what is happening is he says the gospel's for all. And so he just breaks all the boundaries in that, and he speaks wonderfully into this woman's life. And we're going to look at a little bit of her story. I'm going to try and keep it as real as I can for us and relative for us. So I'm asking in the context of everything, have grace for what I'm going to share this evening, because I believe God has got something to say to us this evening here on this. So what happens is Jesus is busy chatting to her, and he gives a whole lot of stuff. So if you go and you read the beginning of John chapter 4, I don't want to go into too much detail there, but you can go and read it. But he's just basically, he's come across this lady, and he's encountered her life, and he starts to speak to the very core of her being. And then the disciples pitch up as we get to this little text here. And they're like a little bit sort of like, what are you doing chatting to this lady? And she then addresses Jesus. So if we can have that scripture up, please. John 4, 28, it says, she says there, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? She's now left Jesus, and she's broken away, and obviously they're aware that he's been speaking with this woman. But she goes, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Verses 30, which they haven't put up there, but that's fine. It says, they came out of the town and made their way towards him. Now let's go to verses 39 of that same text. And it says, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did, which actually wasn't the case. He told her part of what he had ever done or what she had ever done. And what had happened was Jesus got into the very core of this woman's life. Why? Because she had already been in 5 marriages, right? And the person that she was now living with was not her husband. So we are seeing a woman that's probably in those days and ages would be regarded as someone that woman you want to stay away from, all right? But he intrigued her by speaking to her, and I'm going to unpack that a little bit later for us. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed with them 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. So, when I thought about this, I specifically felt for us this evening that this is the story. Your story matters. And we can look at her life. And I think what God wants us to take from this evening is that God can take your mess and do something significant with it. So I got these cheesy little sayings during the week, you know, like, for example, let your mess become your message. You know, those, or your test become your testimony, as we've heard some people speak and say. But I think this is a very powerful story because this lady's life, as messed up as what it was, God did something very profound in her life that gave her life significance and purpose. And just simply looking at her life, she was an adulteress. 5 divorces. Living with a man who she's not married to, it's very much frowned upon in those days and ages, and that, and what happens is Jesus comes in and he breaks into her life. And we're going to see some very powerful things that happen with regards to that. And so he breaks into her brokenness. And actually, without her even realizing it, he's going to turn it for the glory and the honor of his name. But before I go a little bit further into her story, it's interesting that as I pondered on this story, I thought, but hang on a second. In the Bible, there are a few other stories where God takes broken scenarios and situations and he uses it for the glory and the honor of his name. So if you're making notes, listen to a few of these. What about the story of Joseph? Joseph had a dream, sold by his brothers into slavery. He was accused of rape. He was imprisoned. And then finally, as a result of interpreting dreams, what happens is he comes out, interprets the dreams. The man with the vision gets the job, gets placed into leadership. And as a result of that, he saves a whole nation. I want you to think about that. He saves a whole nation. Joseph did not at one point in his life wake up and think, well, gosh, you know what? Today God's going to place me in this place because I'm going to save a whole nation. He had a dream, and part of his dream early on in his life was that his family would bow to him. He was a little bit stupid when he actually spoke to his family about this, and he was very arrogant. But he had no realization of actually what was going to outwork itself, that at a later stage, his whole family would come and they would bow. And you're going to see the relevance of this now. The other story is Rahab the prostitute. If you read the book of Joshua, here's a woman who helps some Israelite spies who come across, who've gone to search the promised land, seek the promised land. What does she do? She hides them from the military that are looking for these guys. And then she basically says to them, how do I know you're going to protect me and my family? How do I find favor with you? And then they go and they speak about what was going to happen, how they would come back. Her whole household had to be in her place of residence and they would be protected. A prostitute who trusted the people of God, in essence, having faith in God. And exactly that is what worked itself out. And she and her family were saved. You're going to see the relevance of it now. The next one is David with Bathsheba. David sinned. He fell immorally with the woman on top of the deck. He looked down on her, saw her. She was beautiful, called for her, slept with her while her husband was in battle. And then he tried to get her husband, when he found out that she was pregnant, to come back, sleep with her so that he could sort of cover up his sin. And then what happened was the husband refused to sleep with her because his men were in battle. So David had a problem. So what did he do? He sent her husband back into battle, but into the front lines, and had him killed. So now we've got adultery and we've got murder. Interesting thing is the baby gets born and God kills the baby. Why? Because God deals ruthlessly with sin. But the story unfolds further. Bathsheba becomes David's wife, and Solomon is born. And it gets better. The story unfolds. The book of Ruth. Naomi and Ruth. Do you remember the story? Naomi had two sons. They were married. They both died. Ruth was one of that. And eventually at a later stage, just to paraphrase and cut the story short, Ruth is positioned by Naomi with a man called Boaz. And she ends up getting married. Now, why am I telling you the stories? Because it's interesting that if you just take these four stories and you go and have a look at them, there are many more. The lineage of Jesus actually comes through all four of these stories. So God can take brokenness and your mess, no matter what it is, and he can use it for the glory and the honor of his name. So with that, when Jesus sees this woman, how many of us, when we heard she was married five times, what would your initial thoughts be? If we're honest. Ladies, if you knew that a guy was married five times, what would your thoughts be? But look at the heart of Jesus. He looks at her and he sees a woman that is broken. There's no judgment, just love. And you can see that in the way that he deals with her, because he's prepared to go cross-cultural, break all barriers, to engage her, find common ground with her, and to speak with her, and eventually turn it into a conversation that would start to get her thinking about her life and the way she's living her life, and Jesus actually starts to give her hope. So he met her where she was at in her life's journey. When he saw her, he saw a woman that just wanted to be loved. She wanted to be covered by a man. She wanted protection. But what he was starting to do is he was saying, actually, you need covering, which is far greater than you can get from a man. You need it from me, which is Jesus himself. And through him dealing with her, he was impacting her life, which would have a far greater impact on her just for the year and now. He started to look at her eternal destiny. Can I say that when we deal with people, when we walk our journey, don't live for the here and now. Start to look ahead. Look at the eternal consequences of choices and decisions, and look at the eternal consequences of those that we are walking with. Because one day we will stand before the Father. The question is, will they be with us on that journey? So with that, I love what Jesus has done. And there's so many little things that we can take out of this thing. Is that when he connected with her, do you know that each one of us is apostolic prophetic? What does that mean? Is that God can send you and I into a particular situation. And with that situation, he can use you prophetically to speak into someone's life. Prophetically means we hear, we see from God. And here Jesus demonstrated it. Apostolically, when I say he was sent to go and preach the good news about himself, but he met a woman at the well that was broken. So wherever you may find yourself, sir or ma'am, God has purposed and planned for you to be there, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's with your neighbors, whether you're on the sports field, whatever it is that you might find yourself in. God puts you there because he's possibly sent you there. We're sent into the world, commissioned by Jesus. But the prophetic side is that as you're connecting with people, God can speak. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He got a word of knowledge about her situation. It's one of his party tricks. And he spoke into her situation. And he uncovered something. He didn't embarrass her. He didn't attack her. He didn't accuse her. He didn't condemn her. But with love, he spoke into her situation. And that's the beauty about God. When he brings a prophetic word, even like what was brought now, earlier on by Mario, people sitting here might know that God is speaking to them. Why? Because God could be saying to you, don't compare yourself with someone else. Some people are small, starting out in their journey. And so the list goes on. But don't compare yourself. If you're starting out in your journey and covered something else, thank God for where you are on your journey, because you're on a journey of growth. Prophetically, this could be something that maybe God wants you to do, is that when you're sitting with somebody on a one-on-one basis, God can drop something into your heart for that person to encourage them. The prophetic is there to build and strengthen and encourage the body. So this evening, I'm going to take a step of faith. And Mattia, I saw you early on up here worshiping. It's wonderful to have you up there worshiping. Interestingly, Mattia is one of our clients from the past. I've sold a house to her, myself and my wife. But the most amazing thing is, who would have thought a couple of years down the line we would be crossing paths in the same congregation? But I felt like the Lord gave me this picture for you. And I saw Martha. Now, you know the story of Mary and Martha. I felt like the Lord saying, here is a lady who knows how to work and how to serve. But I also feel like maybe God is just saying, I want you to go from a work into a Mary mode, to sit at the feet of Jesus. And just to rest in that. Because Jesus has done that for us. Now I'm taking a step of faith. Because I don't know her that well. But other than this, that God, I believe, is wanting to encourage you to sit at his feet and just simply to enjoy him. Does that make sense to you? All right? Now, that's how God works. And I believe God wants to work like that with each one of us as we meet with people. Because we don't all get the opportunity to stand up in the front like this. But you know what? We can be so much more powerful if all of us left here this evening and said, God, give me one person that I can meet with this week and encourage and build into their life something of significance that can change their world. Now you'll see why this is important for us. She was inspired by Jesus. He spoke kindly to her. And because she was intrigued and he had touched her life, what did she go and do? She told others. It's interesting that if you look at her life, despite her past, despite her reputation, Jesus came and he changed everything. You see, people will look at us, they will see aspects of our character, they will see aspects of our nature, and they will start to see the effects of the transforming power of the gospel. She had a brief encounter with Jesus. Think about it. Think about her brief encounter, but how her life was radically transformed. And as a result of that, despite what people knew about her, when she spoke, people listened. That is the power of God on her. And it changed not only her life, but the lives of many. This is powerful stuff when we see how God works. The interesting thing is, this story got a whole village saved. And something that Monique didn't say earlier on, but she said something which I thought was very powerful. She said, you know what? It takes a village to raise a child. And we're part of God's village here to raise this child. But I want to say one person's story turned a whole village that was destined for hell, turned a whole village, and they would join her crossing that finish line for eternity. So I've got some questions here. Three questions I'd like to ask you. So what's your story? I remember when we planted our church about 11, 12 years ago, we invited an apostolic guy into our home. We used to have what we call comm groups. We called it chit chat and chow, because every Wednesday when we got together, we ate and there's a little chit chat, you know, like chit chit chit, all the surface stuff. And then we went into the deep stuff of the things of God. But I'll never forget, I'm sitting there and this guy walks in and he sits down and comes and he sits. And he says, how's it? I'm Ants. What's your name?
Mario.
Mario, wonderful, man. So Mario, nice to meet you, man. Bro, just tell me, what's your story?
How long do you have?
It's wonderful. We can play games because we know each other well. But it was very powerful. I've never forgotten it. So the guy was like very awkward. What do you mean? What's my story? He says, no, I'd love to hear your story. Tell me your story of your life. What's your story? You'll see where I'm going with this now. So that's the first question you got to ask. Got to ask you this question. What has Jesus done for you? And the third question is, how do you think God can use your life story to encourage others? So let me tell you a story from Brackenfell. I've got to go back there. And some of the folk here will know a couple, Tim and Penny. So Penny was our first salvation in Brackenfell. She asked a lot of questions, but we just loved on her and we answered as many questions as we could. But what happened was at one point Penny said, my husband's not saved and we need to work on him. So you know what we did? We had a dinner at our home and we invited them over for dinner. So I said to Lee, I said, Lee, whatever you do, please do not speak about the church or the things of God because we just want to get to know him. I know that sounds very hectic when you hear that from somebody who pastored a church, but you got to understand when you meet with an unsaved person, they don't understand the way we see things. And maybe you are sitting here this evening and you don't know Jesus in a personal capacity. There will be opportunity for you to respond. But the point was, we wanted to get to know the person. We didn't want him to feel like he was a project. And so that night we sat and we got to know each other. We spoke about sport and we spoke about work. And then he said, oh, I believe you guys have planted a church. Boom. Door open. Yes, actually we have. And then we got chatting further, and he said, well, you know what? For me, Jesus is like Jan van Riebeek or conceived out of wedlock. My parents. So I ended up with my dad. And in that time, I ended up doing my national service. And in that time, I went out on my first pass, and I met what is today my beautiful wife. We've been married nearly 26 years. I've known her 5 years plus the 26 years, so we know each other 31 years. And when I met Lee and I met her family, there was brokenness in my family, but there was wholeness in her family. And what I chose to do at that given time was to take the best from both my families and her family and build my life from there. I think back over my life. While I was courting Lee and trying to build with her, I used to hike from Potchefstroom to Kempton Park. And I remember the day that I was standing on the Golden Highway. There's four lanes and I'm parking like this and I'm hitchhiking. And a guy in the very right-hand lane was so kind, and he saw me with my little beret on and he thought, well, let me pull over and help this guy. But what he didn't do was check that there were cars coming up faster on his inside. And the next thing I'm standing and I'm seeing this guy pull over, and the next thing I've got two or three cars veering down on me at over 120 k's an hour on the highway. I stand here today absolutely amazed. The fact is that those cars didn't hit me. I cannot explain to you, as I moved away, I don't know if it was like the hand of God that moved me, but I should not be around today. There's reason for it. Why? Because you look back and you say there's a greater purpose that God had you. We don't understand it. Then we got married. 6 years into our marriage, we nearly got divorced. We had a huge family feud on both sides of our family. And God, funny enough, had to deal with that, and he had to get me to a place of humbling myself and recognizing my frailties and my weaknesses. And I remember God saying to me when we had this huge fight, eventually I'm sitting on the couch, and you know, when you hear this voice, it says, so now what? So I'm going, so now what? Arrogant, ne? And God started to deal with me. All right? And God started then to restore our marriage and to restore our family. And then it's out of that place, which was never part of my dreams or my goals or my plans, suddenly God brings us into leadership. And a late Kerry Southey, prophetic word, came out. She says, I see God has brought you from the back of the queue. You've come kicking and screaming. And God says, I will have no more of that. You know what? I didn't understand the prophetic. But when she said that, something went, this is God speaking. And my whole world changed around these things. And so with that, God brought us into leadership. We then went into full-time ministry. It cost us everything. And we've had to navigate difficult waters, made some bad financial decisions, took our life savings. Money, by the way, you can always make back. We transitioned then into Josh Jen, handed over last year, now part of the eldership year in the AM. Why am I doing this? You're going to see now what the purpose is of this. Is that God doesn't want you to spend so much time focusing on what happened plenty of years ago. He wants you to focus on what's happening now. Because it's relevant now. God can use all of that. Maybe some of you can identify with it, but God can use that. My wife has a wonderful story, which I'm going to share on her behalf just for time's sake. But I've literally seen and heard her that she prayed my father-in-law out of death because he shot a clot when he had cancer. He did die 3 months later. Not because of her lack of faith or lack of prayers, but it was almost like when it happened, she was with him. And he shot the clot while he was going for his x-rays, and she just broke out in prayer. And we believe God rescued him there. He stayed with us for 3 months. And in those 3 months, God did an amazing work in his life. Whole work of humility and just an incredible opportunity for us as a family to say our farewells. Let me tell you about another story of hers. Our youngest daughter, not yet tonight, but she doesn't walk with the Lord yet, but we're trusting for her salvation. Here's a woman that has prayed fervently for our youngest daughter. And so you need to know that by her journey, and we need to know that none of us are perfect. We have our shortcomings. But if we're faithful and we trust God, we've got to believe for God to win her over at some time. God is doing it slowly. But the interesting thing with all of this is that maybe by me just sharing a little bit of my story might put some of you in a space that think, hey, these guys don't walk on water. They're actually normal like the rest of us. And actually, maybe some of you may be encouraged. Maybe your faith is being built. Why? Because I want to tell you that God is still faithful, even when things don't seem like it's going like we would like it to. God is still faithful. If I had to look at things today, if it were not for Jesus in our lives, who knows where we would be today? God has guided our footsteps in the most difficult times, but he has never left us, even when it felt like he had. So as I start to wind down here, for some of us sitting here this evening, you might look at this and you might say, I see Vian at the back there. He's got his crutches here. I know that God's got something on this. But I felt like for some of us, we had this thing in our head. Yeah, but I don't need a crutch in my life. You guys that are Christians, Jesus is your crutch. Well, let me ask you this question. If I asked him to come and stand up in the front here, he's on crutches. He's been on it for a number of weeks. Or if you are in a wheelchair and I say, well, the wheelchair is your crutch for now. Let me take it away if you don't need it. Let me take your crutches away. Let me take your wheelchair away. Where would it leave you and I? I would rather have the crutch. I'd rather have Jesus on my side. Thank you very much, helping me in my journey. And I want to encourage us as Christ followers that we want Jesus to be the one that we lean on, not on ourselves, not on others. And that's the story that we need to be encouraging people with, because people around us are broken, friends. People are broken. People are desperate. People are crying out. They are thirsty far more than you and I realize. Like that woman at the well, Jesus turned her story and he said, you know what? You need to drink from the living water. As you connect with people, can you see I didn't spend too much time on the gory? I want to spend time on giving him glory. Just take that. I thought that was quite clever, actually. You know, guys don't want to hear, please hear my heart when I say, people don't want to hear how you stuck the needle in your arm and, you know, how you were tripping through all. No, you know what? I messed up. But I want to show you that God can take me from being a drug addict or someone who has been caught in pornography, someone who has been a sex addict, someone who has battled with anger. You need to know how kind God has been, that he showed mercy to me, that he could win me over and transform my life, because that's the power of the gospel to transform us. So maybe this evening you're sitting here. You're a senior citizen. Maybe you're a housewife. Don't know why, but housewives, maybe it's because it's Women's Month again. Maybe you sit. Thank you. Our children can be the gateway to open up doors for families to come into the kingdom. Maybe you're a business person. Maybe there's somebody sitting here who thinks, I just don't have anything to contribute. I want to challenge you tonight to go back to God's word and see how God worked in the lives of people and how it impacted individuals. It impacted communities, villages, and the nations. So I want to wrap up with these two scriptures. If you can turn to Matthew 11, 28, please. It's a wonderful story from Jesus speaking to the disciples around him. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You need to know this evening that for many of us sitting here, God is calling you. He's beckoning you. And maybe you are visiting here for the first time. Maybe you know about Jesus, but have never entered into a personal relationship with him. I want to say to you tonight, Jesus is calling out to you saying, come. Just come as you are. Can I maybe venture into something? And I'm saying this with the deepest respect to our Afrikaans brothers and sisters here. I've walked in this community for a fair amount of time, and they are just so respectful of God that some of them would not even ask God because they think it's not right to do so. I've often met with people, they say, ek moet eerst myself reg kry voordat ek die Here kan dien. Can I say to you, that is self-sufficiency and self-dependency. That is not the heart of God. He says to you, sir, ma'am, young person, come. Because I've done it on the cross for you. And I want to encourage us, if you are not yet saved, but you know about Jesus, can I say to you, if you slept in the garage, it doesn't make you a car when you wake up the next morning. If you come to church, it doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is when you recognize your frailty, that you're messed up. Maybe your life is messed up. Maybe there's things that you can relate to here. Can I say to you right now, come to Jesus. Because you are weary and he will give you rest. Rest way beyond what you know now. So with that, if you're saved this evening, all I want you to do this evening is to contemplate all that God has done for you. I want you to think about what he's done for you over your lifetime. For me, when I look back over my life, it leaves me filled with gratitude, awe, and wonder of his kindness and his mercy and his compassion towards me. That which I deserved, I didn't deserve, but he chose it for me. And with that, I want to say, use your story to encourage others, build their faith, and bring people to Christ. That's for those that are saved here this evening. For those that are not yet saved, I want to close with this scripture. Let's go to John 3:16 and right through to verses 18. And we're going to wind down here. For those that are not yet saved, and I want to say, before I read here, I want to encourage you as a church, please bring your friends and your family every Sunday evening. We as a church want to open up the doors of opportunity for people to respond to the gospel, to respond to Jesus, so that they have the opportunity to walk across that finish line and hear that, well done, good and faithful servant. So this in particular tonight, for those of you who are not saved, and I'm not going to assume that everybody's saved because we're here, but we want to speak into this. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Say eternal life. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world. You see, he didn't condemn that woman at the well, right? But to save the world through him. Say through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Can we say name? Why is this important? If you are here tonight and you don't know Jesus, the Bible says that if you call out on the name of Jesus, recognizing your sinfulness, your frailty, and your brokenness, the Bible says you will be saved and you will inherit the kingdom of God.